The last page has been turned in my most recent read, though the book I'm going to be talking about today is one I read at the end of March, and only after seeing it so many times on Instagram posts, I knew I had to read it for myself, especially as I love reading Regency period novels. All that being said, here I am, no spoilers, as opinion-filled as ever and ready to roll, all of which means it's time for the latest episode of Being Bookish. This week, I'm attending balls, studying the mind of an incredible writer, and witnessing the end of a romantic entanglement as I talk about the first novel in Jessica Poole's Regency cozy mystery series, Miss Austen Investigates. I'm your host, Ray, self-confessed bookworm, introvert, hermit, and long-term depression sufferer. Join me on my journey through my ever-growing to-be-read pile and enjoy the latest of my 100% spoiler-free book reviews. This book is a relatively new addition to my bookshelves, as I read it within mere days of it arriving on my doorstep. The book itself has a very simple, clean, and elegant dust jacket, shades of red, cream, and black that reflect the simplicity of elements of the era during which the book is based. Okay, you may be asking yourself now, what is she going on about? But sometimes the cover is the thing, and this book has a cover that really reminds me of some of the much older books in my collection, making it an even more attractive novel. It is a truth universally acknowledged that every good mystery is in need of a brilliant sleuth. Welcome to Hampshire 1795, where a young Jane Austen has her sights set on securing a marriage proposal from the dashing Tom Lefroy at a local ball. But when a shocking discovery is made, a milliner's lifeless body tucked away in a linen closet, Jane finds herself embroiled in an unexpected murder mystery. As she races against the clock to clear her beloved brother Georgie's name, Jane uses her sharp wits to navigate the treacherous waters of society, unmasking secrets and unearthing hidden motives along the way. With every twist and turn, Jane's determination to solve the case deepens, and if she fails, her brother will face the ultimate punishment, the hangman's noose. Join Jane on her quest for justice as she faces down danger, deceit and scandal amidst her own friends and neighbours. Will she uncover the truth in time, or will the real killer go free? One thing's for certain, in Hampshire, nothing is as it seems. The book starts with a romantic scene at a ball where Jane is expected to partake in the social niceties. She has ventured to the greenhouses where she meets up with Tom Lefroy, a seemingly eager suitor whom Jane holds strong affection for. And she wonders if this is the moment when he is going to propose, for he is the one she wants, and she is sure that their relationship has been moving in that direction. In attendance at the ball are the hosts, Lady Harcourt, and her son Jonathan. It's expected that Jonathan's engagement to local beauty, Sophie Rivers, will be announced at any minute. As the events of the evening are beginning to wind down, one of the household servants requests the attendance of a clergyman, as there has been a discovery. Ever curious, Jane follows as her brother James, the local vicar, heads to the grand hall, where, in a small closet, a body has been discovered. Though she is not meant to be there, Jane is the first person to identify the body of the unfortunate victim, a milliner called Madame Renault, that she previously purchased a hat from in Basingstoke. Initially, Jane has no inclination to get involved in solving the mystery of who murdered Madame Renault, preferring to continue with her life as it is. However, when her brother Georgie is accused of the horrific crime due to the fact that he is discovered in possession of a necklace that Madame Renault had been previously seen wearing, she has no choice, or feels that she doesn't. This injustice has Jane stepping in and starting a serious investigation, determined to clear her beloved brother's name. However, in the process, she does manage to alienate and insult a number of people unnecessarily. All the while Jane is investigating, she is neglecting her friends, and her relationship with Tom Lefroy is going nowhere, as both of them appear to acknowledge that while they hold great affection for each other, they would not work. A lot of the tale is told through Jane's letters to her absent sister Cassandra, who is staying with the family of her fiancé while he is abroad. In these letters, Jane details her investigative methods and the progress she is making. Her list of suspects grows, but initially it's more about who is suspicious to her than who actually has a motive, something she has yet to get to the bottom of. When it's revealed that Jane misheard the name of the murder victim, it's Reno, not Renault, things start to become a little clearer as Jane and her friend Mary begin to dig deeper into the life of a woman who seemingly had no enemies and had no reason to be at the home of Sir and Lady Harcourt in the first place. So what could the motive be? Why was Madame Reno in a house where she knew no one? And who was the father of the baby she was carrying? There are three different genres, book genres, that I will pick up over any other. Though, when I think about it carefully, one is almost a subgenre of another. Anyway, cozy mysteries and light crime novels are among my favourites to read. They offer the right level of consideration and relaxation after a busy day, week, month, whatever. So while I am going to avoid spoiling the book by revealing the killer and their motive, by not revealing the killer and their motive, I am going to share some reviews with you, as I think they are not only a really good reflection of how different everyone's taste can be, but also how people can interpret and enjoy books and other forms of entertainment in a varied manner. I try really hard when it comes to sharing my personal view of a book to not be overly harsh when I didn't enjoy it that much or too effusive when I loved it. And that's why I tend to share reviews from others that cover the top and bottom rankings in an effort to keep things somewhat balanced and much fairer. If you've seen Miss Austin Investigates on any of your book shopping trips and have been thinking about reading it, please don't let any of these reviews, including mine, sway you to change your decision. Yorha gave this book 2 stars, finding it to be a disappointment after anticipating it for a while. They said,
"Seems like this is not a year for me for anticipated releases, and that makes me sad. The Hapless Milliner, the first book of the Miss Austin Investigates series, starts off strong with a murder of a mysterious merchant whom only our main character, Jane, recognises. The first 30% of the book was enjoyable and I thought this has the potential to be a 4-star read. However, the joy flew out the window the moment you realise Jane is not exactly clever at all. It's definitely not going to bother everyone as it's a matter of preference, but I do expect the main character of a murder mystery novel to have at least a few working little grey brain cells. Jane does not need much evidence to come to conclusions and accuse publicly every character she starts to suspect. She does not take her time to think it through. She just points fingers to the point where even her own family is telling her off. She did that to every main suspect, making the mystery not really that much of a mystery. That is also why I felt the conclusion to the mystery was anticlimactic and didn't make sense to me personally. You really want me to believe that someone who doesn't think much through and is guided by emotion rather than logic suddenly solved the murder and found an extremely unlikely murderer? I personally could not, leaving me very disappointed by the end. There was also so many side characters, and they mostly read the same, which isn't a big problem, but I did find it a tad boring. I think there is potential in this series, but sadly, this book just didn't do anything for me."
Though there are currently 5 one-star ratings on Goodreads for this book, not one of those who gave it this score actually left a fully written review. That meant I had to skip on over to the 2-star reviews to see what the readers there had to say. Surprisingly, the reviews were lacking in a similarity I am accustomed to from any opinions that are of a lower rating. Across the board, it seems that the expectations versus reality were at fault, with one reviewer citing problems with the similarities between the real Jane and the fictitious one Bull presented us with. On Goodreads, the overall rating for the book is 3.73, which, when compared to other novels I have read in the same genre, is more than a little bit of an improvement. For some reason, unless they're incredibly popular like the Thursday Murder Club, cozy mysteries tend to lack something when it comes to reviews and ratings, which is a tad disappointing. Though Miss Austen Investigates has been out for 2 months, there are only 429 ratings and 171 reviews on Goodreads for the book, which I find quite incredible, especially given the number of times I saw this book on socials when it was first released. Where are all those reviewers now? Did they not post their reviews on Goodreads? Or are they all the people who have moved over to sites like Storygraph? Out of those 429 ratings, 62% of them, or 269 readers, felt it deserved a positive 4 or 5 stars. However, as is always the case when things weren't totally complimentary, with 31 people, or 10% of reviewers, rating the book at the lower end of the scale. As there weren't any written reviews from those 5 readers who rated it a 1 star, I can't tell if any of them were giving them that score because they were unable to finish it, but I am going to assume that this may have been the case for some that perhaps decided not to leave a full review. Jules gave the book 5 stars and seemed to really enjoy the humour that Bull included. She said,
"Miss Austen Investigates is a brilliant whodunit with an intelligent but haphazard protagonist who lives in a time where, of course, she is classed as hysterical rather than possibly being right. Interspersed between Jane's investigation and her sometimes misplaced questioning, we learn about her parents and siblings. I particularly loved her playful relationships with her brothers, Henry and James. And, oh my heart, her beloved Tom Lefroy. No more said, my lips are sealed. Anyone who reads my reviews will know I am not a big reader of crime or thrillers, but I thoroughly enjoyed this fun romp of an investigation with a can't help but adore her impromptu investigator. And as you can expect from 18th century rural England, there are all sorts of underhanded shenanigans going on. I believe there's another book coming and I'll be on tenterhooks when its release is impending. Highly recommend."
Over the last few years, I have read a lot of books that tackle the mystery genre from different angles, whether the investigator is an antique hunter, pensioner, crossword creator, author, or in the case of Jane Austen, real historical person made fiction. And it's been interesting to see the way that authors tackle these characters and introduce them into the world of murder, mystery, and pull them into the investigations. As a fan of the genre, I had to pick this book up. But as with every book I read, there is no guarantee that because I enjoy cozy mysteries, I was going to find this one to be any good. Anyway, now I've told you about other people's views, let's get down to it. Here are my thoughts on Miss Austen Investigates by Jessica Bull, completely spoiler-free and 100% honest. Did I like the book? There is something enjoyable about reading books based in this period of English history. In Miss Austen Investigates, Jane is a delightfully obtuse character. She wants to fit in, to find the man of her dreams, in whom she can place the responsibility for marital happiness, and she believes she has that in Tom Lefroy, a man played by James McAvoy in Becoming Jane. Thinking about him and the way that their relationship inevitably ended, I did find myself heading down a potentially time-consuming rabbit hole, trying to find out what happened to him afterwards. Jane is clearly incredibly close to her family, and while I know that she is the central character, I still feel as though there were a number of opportunities to learn more about this particular dynamic. We get to know her sister Cassandra through letters that Jane sends to her while investigating the murder of the unfortunate milliner. But any words about her and who she is are lost in the midst of the mystery Jane is trying to solve. Assumptions are made about her older brother Georgie, who in real life spent much of his time living with another family in the village due to possible physical and mental conditions that have never been categorically stated as anything specific. However, in this book, poor Georgie not only has some form of epilepsy, but also, as well as being deaf, experienced developmental difficulties preventing him from communicating. I think that this assumption is the one thing that took me out of the book for any moment of time. First to do research, and then to feel an incredible amount of concern as I considered that he was placed in prison. I know that the late 1700s and early 1800s, and beyond to be fair, were really tough on people who were considered different in any way, and Bull made him so different that he was considered a threat. Why is this so important? Well, when there is a murder and Georgie is found with what is considered a vital piece of evidence, it is immediately assumed that the young man is guilty, that rage had driven him to brutally kill a woman he didn't know, because of course it is assumed due to the fits he experiences and the fact he is unable to communicate clearly, he would be driven to murder. Georgie is a convenient suspect. Ignoring this rather uncomfortable element, the plot is very well rounded out, and though our inexperienced investigator with her keen mind and determination to prove the innocence of her brother tries hard, there are moments when you fear that she is not going to solve anything and merely insult every single person in her personal social sphere. As with any good cozy mystery, the book starts with the discovery of the body and ends with what proves to be a very satisfactory resolution. However, along the way, there are some moments that feel as though they were a little unnecessary. They do later prove to have relevance that isn't clear at the time, such as the rendezvous in a hayloft Jane witnesses between Sophie Rivers and Douglas Fitzgerald. There are also moments in the book that feel as though, had they been fact, could have easily influenced the events in Pride and Prejudice, specifically uncomfortable conversations between Mrs. Bennet and her daughters. Sophie Rivers and her mother have a contentious relationship, if only because the older woman has it set in her mind that her beautiful daughter, on whom Jane seems to pour a considerable amount of unfair scorn, by the way, must marry Jonathan Harcourt, who has recently returned from the continent and is only showing a modicum of interest in the woman his own mother has decided he will marry. But there's a story behind that, which is slowly revealed as the mystery continues. Mrs. Harcourt and Mrs. Rivers are incredibly similar to characters we experience in Austen's novels, especially Northanger Abbey and Pride and Prejudice. During the book, Jane makes a number of mentions about the novel she's working on, several times referring to Lady Susan and how the situation she's experiencing is influencing her work. I enjoyed the way that the story developed and found myself getting really involved in the mystery, wanting to know who had committed the murder and whether they would be caught red-handed. The circumstances surrounding the events were actually rather sad, and the eventual revelation and consequences are particularly traumatic for just one character. For others, the discovery of one person's guilt means freedom and relief, yet the after effects are felt widely, sending tremors through the close-knit community. I felt that it was a well-written book that was clearly expertly researched, including elements of Jane's real life to make the possibility of the events included within likely. Much of Jane's life has, of course, been well documented, but we cannot know every single detail. So who's to say she didn't get involved in a scandalous murder case that she helped to solve through sheer force of will and a need to prove the innocence of someone she cared for? If you like something a little lighter and fancy a jaunt into the Regency period, this would be a fun read. And if you managed to solve the murder before our intrepid investigator, please let me know, because I didn't. What surprised me most about the book? The thing which surprised me the most, this is a tough one. I guess it has to be the way that occasionally Jane Austen felt as though she was being just a tad less charming and a little bit brutal when talking to or about someone. Immediately following any rebuke Jane makes, she tends to apologise. However, the fact that she said these things in the first place is a bit shocking. Biting wit is something that I have always considered to be Austen's style when it comes to her writing. However, her vicious riposts are often without reason and feel unnecessary in this book. They feel as though they were a misguided attempt at making her come across as more interesting when they were completely unnecessary, as her intelligence and insights had already granted her this particular appeal. If you're looking for something like this, or you loved this and want something else, then you'll love these. There are so many books in this genre that I could recommend, starting with books written by the declared Queen of Crime, Agatha Christie. I have several favourites from her pretty significant catalogue, including Evil Under the Sun, Murder in Mesopotamia, Death on the Nile, and Hickory Dickory Dock. I know that there are many others, but these all have one big thing in common. Hercule Poirot, the character I consider to be her best creation. Clearly, I have a thing for intelligent and sometimes officious Belgian detectives. Anyway, moving along from Agatha Christie, because I think sometimes you need to, I am happy to recommend Robert Thorogood's Marlowe Murder Club. There is something I adore about Judith, Bex and Suze, and I am really looking forward to the third book in the series, Queen of Poisons, when it comes out in paperback in a few months. There are so many incredible authors and mystery books out there, and I could spend a considerable amount of time recommending all of them, but I do want to save a few for the next time I review a cozy mystery and have to answer this question. This week has been yet another incredibly busy one, when aren't they? And I have to admit, the only way I was able to get through it was with the promise of two things: my B12 injection, which I cannot wait to kick in, and the weekend. I spent a lot of time preparing this week for a couple of presentations that had me anxiously picking at my fingernails as I considered the fact that there was a lot riding on everything I was presenting. Luckily, it seemed to go pretty well, and I am now looking forward to the wonder that is next weekend. Yes, wishing my life away to a degree because of the early May bank holiday and 4 fantastic days off. I seriously cannot wait. I am still trying something new on my YouTube channel, in case you haven't been over there yet, uploading the podcast as video content, as well as creating more bookish content in the form of long and short form videos. I'm finding it quite an interesting project, though I am not a massive fan of sitting in front of the camera. Luckily, talking books is a great distraction. Please don't forget, though, if you want to hear about new releases and other books I've read and keep up with my reviews, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website, beingbookish.co.uk. The April newsletter has just been sent out, a little bit later than I had planned, and I am putting together ideas to make the next one even better. Well, that's it for this week, and thank you so much for listening. Just a quick note, I am going fortnightly for the time being, as things are getting a little bit busy in my personal life and I am spending a lot more time with family. If you like what you hear, why not share it with your friends and family? And please post a star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of the other podcatchers where you might listen. You can also follow me on Instagram as Being Bookish Pod, on TikTok as Being Bookish Reviews, and on X as Being_Bookish. And you can find newer episodes and some book-themed shorts on YouTube, where I am at Being Bookish Pod. Of course, you can check out my website for full written spoiler-free book reviews at beingbookish.co.uk. Well, I have a few more things to do before I start a new week at work. And I am looking forward to starting another book and visiting a new world. So until next time, this is me saying farewell.